of this lesson is dangerous partnerships. Now, it's actually fitting on the questions we just had, because it's important, because I don't know if we realize how much we have partnered, and we kind of still do it, even though we hear this and go, yeah, we still get in these partnerships and we don't notice the danger that the Bible has given us. As we were speaking of some of these ministers in certain groups, what ended up happening was a lot of these groups who probably meant well when they first went in, partnered with something, or there's something that means a lot to them. I've told people many times, when I really saw the real story of what Martin Luther King did behind the scenes, I mean, there was a lot of stuff that he was used for in marching and helping for equality. There was some very devious and some dangerous things he did behind the scenes, which broke my heart. Now, the thing about it is, him being a man had to make me understand I'm never following a man, and we don't follow men. But men can get caught up in their wrongness or follow their beliefs in that, and they'll try to sometimes blend it in with God, and that becomes extremely dangerous. So we really need to review who we are partnering with. This would go in line with the order my steps on. It was on. I can't remember the name of it. I think it had something to do with one of the verses on not to be yoked together, your commonality, something with your commonality. So if you ever get a chance, go through that again, because I think we still allow what means stuff to us to be equal to our relationship with God, instead of realizing there should be nothing that means anything to us other than God, and everything else should be filtered through that. Then it'll restruct and help our partnerships in a way that we can now deal with partnerships in the right way. Let's talk about what that means. So, knowing the title of this, Dangerous Partnerships, hopefully as you go through this, you'll be able to really cleanse those relationships in your lives, which doesn't always mean you get away from them. It means you readjust how you are in them. Okay. And let's start off first. God clearly, the very first one he makes clear, warns us about our relationship with the world. And this is where it's disturbing when we get caught up in politics, we get caught up in this junk that's going on, we get caught up in groups in the world, and we get caught up in organizations, because organizations will give off what seems to be good. And God doesn't get caught up into that. He just gives commands when it comes concerning things that are built or based on the world. Watch what he says here. When it says everything created in the world, based on the world, is dangerous. Keyword, everything. And they fit a combination or one of these three things. In 1 John 2, 15 through 17, it says, do not love the world or anything in the world. Now, I always make clear that this word love is agape love, which some people make the mistake of calling unconditional love, which it's not unconditional love, where the word do not wouldn't be in front of it. You understand that? It is godly love. Okay. So he's saying, I don't want you to give godly love to the world. You're like, well, wait, what does that mean? So we are now not trying to change the world or fix the world or make the world a better place. You understand that we are to minister to those in the world to bring them out of the world. You get that? Okay. And that's why it's so important when he says, do not love the world. And then he says, or anything in the world. That means anything that was created by the world, based on the world. So this is a clear command. And then he makes very clear, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And we're seeing more and more of that, where people are very loyal to their country, to the world, in whatever way it may be, and they think it's almost equal to God, even though he says this clearly. How come it doesn't make us go, man, how come I never seen that? And sometimes we just kind of bypass it. So we get overly patriotic at times, or we get overfulfilled when we hear certain histories and make us feel good about certain portions of the world. Every part of the world is the world. There is no part on the world that's not included in the statement. Please understand that. Because some will make you think when it's talking about this, it's not talking about the United States, it's not talking about Israel, it's not talking, no, it's talking about the world. It's everything in the world. And then it breaks it down. There's a combination out there we have to be careful when it comes to that. It says, for everything in the world. And it breaks it down into these three things: cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and a boasting of what he has and does. And once again, the craving of sinful man, in other words, the world caters to my desires. The world caters to my desires. What it means is it lets me know I can't have what I want, even though Jesus says, no, you must deny yourself. Why? Because the weapon Satan uses against us is us. So if the world continually keeps showing me I can have what I want and I friend the world, I'm going to live for what I want. And that's what we end up doing. And we get depressed when we don't get what we want, but the world always puts out there that we can have what we want, and it makes ways that for us to have what we want, and we start living for what we want. And then it shows the lust of his eyes, not just seeing things that I didn't know I want. So it doesn't just present me with also things that I didn't realize I wanted, but the lust of his eyes or the desires of his eyes is also built on the how I see it. Do you understand that? The how I see it, perception. You've heard me put out there many times, we're supposed to be the body. Let me stop saying I put out there. The Bible shows us we're supposed to be the body. Okay, very important for us to understand. So if we're supposed to be the body, then why are we so siloed in different groups? Because instead of us coming together in one mind, as Christ said, we started getting together in one mind with other people that had the same viewpoint we did. Think about that. You can break down churches, and a core part of that church that will stand out based on that group of people's vision, instead of them all going, hey, we as churches should be depressed at what the heck is going on? Why are we so broke up? When churches were separated, and anything that separate us, there is a problem. You understand? And I've heard churches where they'll go, we welcome all people. But in reality, what they're saying is, as long as you see it my way, then you can come into church. Now, there's small truth to it. If the way I'm seeing it is Christ, absolutely. That's what we're trying to get people to see it in that way. But when it's my way, you understand that? And I have a whole bunch of people that happen to see it my way. That's what the lust of the eyes are. Very dangerous thing to have. And the world caters to us having your own perception, your own viewpoint, and living by that, because in any which way, it takes you away from the viewpoint, which is Christ. And the boasting of what he has and does, that's the me factor. It makes me something. And this what last one is one of the biggest reasons why many of us don't know our gifts, because the boasting of what he has and does, by sight, what I want to be known for what I'm doing has to look a certain way. Does that make sense? You know, I don't want to be the guy who is in the background plugging things in. I want to be the one out front playing the instrument and getting the crowds cheering. You see where I'm going with that? It's the person who wants to make sure I'm the one that you see is the bigger one. My name is on everything and look at what I did, so on and so forth, instead of realizing, no, we all play a part. And God's going to say, man, that's huge what you did, that person who plugged in the thing behind there. And that's what should matter to us. And the one up front would be even very careful to go, you know what? I got to be careful because I can end up catering to the people that are cheering me on and not doing it for God. And that's what ends up happening to us. So the world caters to these dangerous three things. And that's what encompasses the world and what it does. And we still keep partnering with it. And he makes clear those three things comes not from the Father, but from the world. Do you understand that? So the more I'm in the world and I keep embracing the world, depression kicks in. Because I want more. I want what I want. I have my own viewpoint. So we argue. You hear Christians argue all the time. We have our debates and our arguments. We don't want to hear what the other person says. And the me factor. Well, look what I did. Look what they did. And we boast other people, and it's nothing to do. I'll hear certain things that people do. And you know how they keep, I keep hearing that word goat. And I know people are like, you know, and Christians say they don't like it because, you know, there's lambs and goats. And I'm not saying in that way. I'm saying we have the nerve to give people down here that much credit. There's no such thing. If somebody happened to be allowed to be very good at something, it's only because God allowed them to. When we get caught up on how great somebody is, look how great they are with their art, look how great they are in their music, look how great they are in their construction, look how great they are in this business, we're dangerous to them. You understand? And we're dangerous to ourselves when we take people and go, wow, that person is wonderful, instead of, okay, there's a talent God gave them. Not sure why God gave them it. Praise God. All the glory to God. Now, all Christians should know that. Worldly point of view is to take that person and to put them on a pedestal. You understand that? And it's disturbing because we're damaging that person who already thinks they're the greatest of all time. And we're disturbing us for now putting them up while it's all about God. God is like, you do understand, I could take anything away from them. You know, Samson, he's the one who gave Samson the strength. Samson did everything wrong, and then got his hair cut after being tricked, you know, those other times first. Does it make sense?
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Did you say goat?
Goat. Yes. Greatest of all time. That's what that terminology stands for.
Oh, okay. I didn't know what that meant.
Yeah, that's what when they say that, and they're saying it all the time. That's why you hear in basketball they talk about Michael Jordan and LeBron James. They talked about the gymnasts. They talk about in football. They talk about it in baseball. I mean, they always like take that person to call to be called the greatest. We really shouldn't dive into that as Christians, because to us there's no such thing. It's what God, what talent for a person who's not a Christian, and what gift God get. It's God gave that person that. Samson isn't known as the greatest judge. He was one of the judges, but because of his strength, some people put him up there, even though he actually was one of the most lousy as he did it, because he was conceited in himself as if it came from him, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? We tend to miss that out. Okay. So understanding the relationship with the world can really distort us and make us miss out on we are just instruments. That's why he makes clear the world and its desires pass away. So a lot of things we're investing in, that we're in awe of, that we are partnering with, that we're trying to get, is going to one day go away, and then you got to answer to God. So if I embrace the world and my business does well based on the world, my family does well based on the world, my happiness does well based on the world. When I say based on the world, all of it's very temporary. Even if it thinks I lasted and I felt like I was happy, I die and I go to God. What am I going to have to say? Rich man, remember he said, you lived in luxury all the days of your life. You got your good. Now he's in eternity. And we got to keep that in mind. That's why it says, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. So this relationship, we really got to pay close attention to. Are we partnering with the world? And the way you'll know it is the things that you allow to have value, or the people you have value. What is it based on? We're going to talk about that, okay? And just to give you a hint, I think you already know it. If it's not based on God, it's of the world, and that means you're partnering with the world, and you're lacking the love of the Father. Keep that in mind, okay? Now, our action of partnering with the world automatically separates us from God. James 4:4 makes it, this is one of those where you can say something without even saying it. When he says, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? What we just explained, what you're not supposed to do. He said, don't you realize that when you show this, once again, partnership, this dedication, this beholding the world, you understand that supporting the world, defending the world, you're hating God. You understand that? Okay. And in any case, like I said, when I did serve on all are evil, I want us to understand that's what the Bible teaches us. But when I now try to support or defend our country, where we come from, because, you know, like we talk about our heritage for Christians, we would say we come from Christ. That's where it should be. But when we think of our physical heritage and we try to support motherlands and certain things like that and give it as if it's some great place, once again, we're showing hatred towards God, even though we may have never said we hated God. He said, friendship with the world is hatred towards God. And he makes clear, anyone who chooses, so it's a choice to be a friend of the world, becomes, and what else can it mean, an enemy of God. You're going against God, which puts you on the wrong end of God. And this is so common. I don't know why we're not stopping and going, oh man, I can't believe I just did that. You know what I mean? I can't believe I'm in that path. But you still see us really getting close to the world. Why? Because the world caters to our senses. The world caters to our immediate gratification, and we just keep embracing it. Now, I always tell you, and once again, based on the Bible, stop playing the victim, stop playing the confused. True Christians are going to, reverence means every step I take, I'm going to check to make sure I'm making the right step. Think about that, okay? True Christians always check their steps. They're going to order their steps. Now, when I kind of keep doing what I go well and play, oh, well, I didn't know, I still got to answer to God. That's why I'm hoping we rebuke one another in the right way, because if we don't, the person kind of plays the confused and so on and so forth. God is not, because we have the spirit and we have the ability. A lot of times we allow our desire to get in the way. And this is where this friendship comes in. He makes very clear. See, Christians have, concerning the world, an either or relationship, either God or not, no in between. Okay, that's how it has to work. And all relationships better be based on God. If not, then you're on the not. James 4, verse 4 says, you adulterous people. Oh, I just did a repeat on that. Yeah, so but that these two should be in the same spot. I don't know how I did both, but they both should be in the same thing. So we're going to get rid of this. I'm going to have to get rid of it over there. But it doesn't hurt to read it twice. So, but bad relationships will corrupt. Bad relationships will corrupt. And that's an important thing to know. He didn't say may corrupt. And relationships he's talking about here is not just being around them. It's when I have a relationship. We're going to talk about that, a partnership or not realizing. And to kind of help you out, on a true friendship relationship, it's a two-way. I give and I receive. You understand that on both. That's how true partnerships work. When we're ministering, it's just one way. I don't allow them to influence me. Do you get this? I don't allow them to. You know what I mean? So when I see some of these other ministers, and I think one of the hardest part, me and my wife talked about it and always said, I would love to have a mentor, love to have people to find, but I'm still very careful. And I keep finding these that are embracing worldly things. And I'm like, what do you do when they're embracing these things? I can't then go to them and say, hey, we're good as long as you don't do this part over here, because a lot of what they say is still influenced by these worldly things they're embracing. You understand? I had a talk with one of the ministers, and on the flesh side, he was right. He was like, man, if you don't, success based in a worldly sense is not going to happen. He was like, people don't want to hear that. You know, they're people are loyal. People are patriots. People, he was using worldly terms as if I'm supposed to go, oh, yeah, I guess I better give in to that. And I'm like, but it's not in line with the word. And he was like, you got to quit taking this so serious. And I remember the struggle. But that's a hard part, because you'll see them when they're good. But man, when they're dangerous, they will shake you up. And that's what it means in 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. So if in any way I'm walking in the Lord and I allow this person to be an influence, I'm going to be corrupt, because I'm going to hear some things and go, oh, they might be right. I'm hearing statements that people are making, and because I have a respect for them, next thing I know, I'm saying what they said because I respect them, which is foolish based on the Bible. You understand that? But we still do it. Not the Bereans, and they were doing it with Paul. Remember, the Bereans were like, oh, sounds good, Paul. We're going to go study this, and we'll come back and talk to you next week. It was like, we're checking this. I don't care who you are, what your name is, how many books you wrote, whatever they say about you, I'm checking it. And that's how we're all supposed to be. But we still get those that get caught up in the, well, they do this, and I heard this other sermon, and it really touched me, and all this other stuff, and you've just been charmed or misled, and you allowed that to happen. Now, the results due to dangerous relationships fall into some of the relationship partnerships. We get these things. First of all, you get bad ideologies in the church, and that's what we have right now. We got a lot of stuff mixed in the church, as one of the questions was asked earlier, on some of the statements we make that are not biblical, but Christians are still saying them, speaking it into existence, first world problems, you know, what was it? You take, well, one step forward and God takes, I don't know. It's a bunch of stuff that they've added in there that has nothing to do with the Bible, and it doesn't. And we like these statements because they make us feel good, even though it has nothing to do with God. And these ideologies also then add in things that we're saying God is going to do that the Bible doesn't say God is going to do. And we get caught up in those things instead of getting caught up in his word. And we stop living in reverence, and we get you know, more caught up in myths. Also, we get disputes due to not being in agreement. There are three different verses that really give a lot of emphasis on us being of the same mind, same thought, same purpose. And why are two Christians arguing? What is it we're arguing about? And it's usually about stuff that's outside of God. Or immediately we should be going, why am I taking sides? Do you understand that? Now, don't get me wrong. All of us are going to have things that we desire more than others, that we like more. There are certain things I may hear on the news that I favor, and you're going to hear on the news and you're going to hate, and vice versa. The problem is, none of that should have anything to do with our walk. You understand that? We should be on the same page when it comes to that statement or thing going on of, you know what, that's wrong, or you know what, that's right, based on the word saying this, instead of us once again being hypocrites. We were losing a lot of people to minister to, because once again, Christians today look more hypocritical than we do, you know, being the light, being the stable from another place, displaying God. We look like we came here and took sides. It also gives us this partnership with our country. We don't talk about this enough, and this is very dangerous. And not just here in America, but every country. People are very loyal to their country, and that's a dangerous thing. You know, right now people are still running around and they're calling the vaccine the mark of the beast because that's talking out of ignorance. People are saying not to get it, what to get it, and things of that sort. And what happens is you're going to follow your country and not do it, or follow your country and do it. Right now the country's split. We're doing it based on country, not based on the word. I've heard more videos on people distorting the word on why to take it. And I've read more videos on people distorting word on why not to take it. And it's disturbing, because the problem is at the rate we're going, we're not going to have any idea what the mark of the beast is. No clue, even though he gives it to us. Because the biggest thing is not you getting a mark or getting something. The biggest thing is going to be your loyalty. Think about that. The biggest thing is, because when he goes against saying the ones who, you know, you will not be written in the Lamb's Book of Life if you get the mark of the beast, it's going to be because you've accepted something that is not of God, is of something else. Think about that. It's going to be a loyalty to something and not to God. That's going to make it clear. If it was about just a mark, all of us are going to hell, because we've taken medicine that came from the world. I'm sure we've got shots we've gotten from the world. I'm sure we got marks on our hands when we went into amusement parks or into whatever, all these marks we've gotten. I mean, we keep making up this nonsense. Cut it out. So we get this partnership with our country, and our country distorts us. And in that, it becomes a distraction. You understand that? And then we get dysfunctional and broken families. Now, make very clear, please listen to the Order of My Steps coming, talking about family, because true dysfunctional family in God is different than worldly dysfunctional family. All right. And understand the structure of family, of how we've done family now. It's more dysfunctional than what you think. Even the ones that we try to go after, are we doing the right thing? You know, I mean, some of the paintings of family sitting at a dinner table and we're having conversations and we're doing all this stuff together. Is that the family God wants? And that's the question you have to ask. What does family mean when it comes to God? We allowed certain people to come in, and I'm going to say this statement. You're going to hear it in Order of My Steps, and it'll be explained clear, God willing, when you get a chance to hear it. It's in which we have made family sacred based on family, and instead of making family sacred based on God. What do I mean by that? Now I'm explaining now, and I'll explain it in Order of My Steps coming up. In other words, when a family does it, then it's okay. And we got to support it because it's the family. So when the family accepts somebody whose lifestyle changed or their gender changed or whatever they did it, as long as the family did, you know what? We're a family. We'll make it work. When a family, either in divorce or infidelity or whatever, they allow certain things to work in the way they want to, it's all based on what that family does. So as long as they're still a family, then it's all good. And we make our own rules. And that's why all families look different. All families have their own traditions. All families have their own values. And they're all dysfunctional. All dysfunctional. While in reality, if it was truly sacred, and this is what the Old Testament showed us, he tells us what to do, and that's what we follow. And that's a family, period. You understand that? Very important for us to get. And like I said, the Order of My Steps will go more into it. Maybe we'll have some questions afterwards next week. And the last thing you see we get is dysfunctional businesses. Because in the same way, you have some very successful businesses that are extremely dysfunctional. And you got Christians, when you start a business, what was your reason to start a business? Now, the answer should be to glorify God. Why? Because everything I do is to glorify God. And you'll go, yeah, that's what I meant. But no, we really do it to make money, to be successful, to do what I like. All these things are nice. But in reality, that first answer should have been our answer. In some cases, certain decisions you wouldn't have made. Certain businesses you wouldn't have started. Certain partnerships you would not have had. You would have stopped and gone, I can't do this, because how can I truly glorify God? You understand that? I remember even when we were doing the church, and it came to mind, based on what the world says is success, if I would have built our church based on this, or this, you know, this part of the body based on it, it's not a recipe for worldly success by far. It is not. I'm not saying the things people like to hear, not catering to people's feelings. It's all about what God is saying. Now, when we do that, you can lose people and people will go astray and stuff like that. But that's functional, because in the end, it has to be glorifying God. But on surface, it looks dysfunctional because it's not doing what the world wants to receive on that. look through these things, and I'm sure there's other things that are results of dangerous partnerships. But when you get to know the true definition of these things and you come back to them, look in your lives and be very careful. Now, when we come back next week, God willing, we're going to hopefully go over some reasons we use for bad partnering. And then we're going to go into how to avoid it and get an understanding of some examples of what the Bible shows as bad partnerships. Any questions? All right, praise God. As we do all of these, hopefully you're not just one that you hear, you say amen, take some notes, highlight, and then move on. You got to take it, and you got to apply it. The key to all studies is after you check it, you study it, you take it in, you have to start living it. Now, when you start living it, the next time you hear it, you'll get more out of it. If not, you'll keep hearing the same thing. You hear the same thing because you're going in circles and you're not maturing. And that's a very important part of this. So make sure you take this stuff. Get it, you understand it, you talk about it, and when it's in you, then you apply it. And as you apply it and you start living it, next time you hear it, you'll get deeper and you say, you know what, I didn't see that, because you really have this part. And that's that growth that each Christian is supposed to have. So make sure you take advantage of those things and apply these things. That's why questions are so important. This is why we are talking to your prayer partners and the rest of the body, and when you bring these things up, and y'all bring this up so you can apply it in every situation. So hopefully you guys are doing that and everything that you do. All right, we have no other questions. I guess we'll close out with prayer. Let us pray. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, thank you once again, dear God, for this word that you give us. Help us once again to check to make sure everything that we're given is in line with what your word says. Help us to do that with everything that we do, not allow our emotions, our feelings, and desires to ever be the misleading point that we have, dear God, to pull us away or to make us make our decisions. Help us to walk in such a way, dear Lord, that we minister to others and that we're not pushing others away. We know what your word says about us being a stumbling block, so let's check our lives and everything that we do and check the people that we're partnering with, that they fall in line to whom you say we are to partner with. Help us to do everything and filter everything through you. We love you so much, and we thank you so much, dear God, for your grace and for your mercy. And we don't want to take that for granted, dear God. We want to make sure we're not mocking you in any way, but that we're living in a reverent way, that we are always glorifying you with all that we do. We give you the glory, the praise, and the honor, and all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name, we all say.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Love y'all.
Night.
Love you too.
Night. Night.